All right, everybody. Dr. Kemal Wallace, we're doing our second radio show today. So Dr. Sundermeyer should be coming on in. She's just finishing up with a patient. So today is the birthday version. So I turned 48 today. So fantastic. So last time we talked about the foundations of health. And hey, there she is. So she has a way better smile than I do. So last time we talked about doing the foundational component, and we wanted to kind of expound on everything. So it's going to continue to build to then we start talking more specific about thyroid and adrenal and all of that. So, yeah. And so.
Well, I think maybe let's start with some quick bookkeeping things at first. First, he's Dr. Wallace, and I'm Dr. Sundermeyer. So really great to see everyone again today. For our show. But you can also find out more information about us online at infusionhealth.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we have
if you happen to be in Tucson, you can actually go to tucsonsivlounge.com because we have a lovely IV lounge in Tucson.
This is very true, which is exciting.
Yeah. And then you can also go ahead and give us a call. We're taking calls for people that might have questions that obviously can be answered appropriately.
Yep.
Something more extravagant, you know, obviously we can go ahead and private message us or speak or get some contact information to speak more thorough. So
absolutely.
That number is 8. Got it?
Yeah, so go eight, for it.
All right. 844-390-8255. And so, yes, please give us a call. We'd love to go ahead and answer some questions that you might have.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about this one day concept, Dr. Wallace. What is the biggest thing that you feel this is such an important conversation to have with your patients?
Yeah. So again, so going over what we did the first time, talk about the foundational component, and then we don't necessarily go over on the foundational component, the one day that we choose for people to have a little more control over their health, over some of their habits, over their sleep, over what they possibly eat that day. So we get a lot of patients that come on in that are extremely deficient. And I'm not talking about just deficient nutritionally, deficient sleep, deficient with water, you know, deficient mentally. And so the concept of one day came in a sense of like, well, what can we do for patients that it's like it allows them to go ahead and take charge of even just one day? So they can feel the benefits of just having one day where it feels like they're not starting out in a deficit. They actually can say no to people possibly in that regards. They're setting up their schedule to allow themselves to do more meditation. They're allowing themselves to cook for themselves a little bit better or going to meal prep or even purchasing a meal plan that actually can suit their needs because they are so busy. So that's somewhat the concept of one day because we do get a lot of patients that come in. And obviously with Dr. Sundermeyer and myself, biochemistry is somewhat easy to manipulate. You know, if they're low in a hormone, you know, we can increase a hormone. If they're low and they do a micronutrient and they're low in glutathione, it's like we can give them glutathione. The one thing we can't do is just follow them around all day. Like that commercial or whatever. It's like, you know, so you slap them and say no to that. And all right, now you have to meditate. So I'm going to drive you to a park and you're going to meditate or walk around the park. It's like, we just don't have the ability to do that unless the people that are watching us want to pay me an extremely amount and I will follow them around.
If only it were that easy, right?
That'd be an awesome job. I'll be your personal person to go ahead and make sure your day is the one day that we are going to talk about here. So
absolutely.
How about your experiences, Dr. Sundermeyer?
Well, I think with the one day concept, a lot of people are becoming reliant, I think is a good word, on supplementation. They're going, well, I'll take a supplement for my thyroid and I'll make sure I'm on thyroid medication. I'll take a supplement for my adrenals. I'm on a protein powder. I do this. But they're not hydrated enough. They're caffeinated and they're not eating. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it goes back to... the biggest statement is, and we'll get more into this, is they wake up and they drink their coffee. I'm fine once I have my coffee. But I go, well, how much water? The biggest statement, I definitely don't drink enough water. And it's like, well, that's a big chunk of our body, right? So knowing how to kind of take a little bit of control, even with the crazy hectic schedules that we tend to keep more regularly, is really important. So I think the big chunk and the reason we try and encourage this one day is because if you can see how you can feel just by taking a little bit more self-care and a little bit more control over what you're able to do,
correct,
can make you really go, wow, I did everything on point. And does that mean every day we have to do that? Not, we're never going to be consistent every day, but it might encourage you to wake up and drink that glass of water or make a green smoothie over having, you know, a quick protein bar, or, you know, what changes can you start making so that you can continue to feel the benefits and a little bit more control over your own system. And in turn, your energy will feel better. And your brain will work better, and you won't get those post-meal energy drops. And so there's so many different reasons why we want to encourage this statement here and this control.
Well, the thing is too, as physicians, we want to see people succeed. Mm-hmm. So if they don't grasp the concept of one day and expound upon that, it's like we can't sometimes help them, because a lot of times you will see diet plans that are like, well, I want you to do this diet plan, and there's no guidance in regards to that, or the patient sits and says, I tried it and I just said screw it, mm-hmm. because my life is so hectic. And the concept of, well, then let's dumb it down, okay, and not sitting there saying that the people that we're giving it to, it's just sometimes programs are so extravagant, it's like people can't do it,
right?
So adding in extra water, a bowl of broccoli extra a day, you know, I'm trying to replace some of the worst habits, going to different snacks, you know, mm-hmm. obviously not eating at 9 p.m. and have the bowl of ice cream. I'm guilty of that sometimes, you know, in that regards. And obviously I feel it the next day, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. So the concept of like, we don't have to overhaul the whole system, because hopefully with most of our patients, we were building a relationship with them. And so we can help guide them as well as be medical doctors as well, blood labs. But, you know, I think we're somewhat better of the health coaches, because we can be health coaches that can diagnose and do lab interpretations,
right?
Those types of things. And so we can guide them into, it's like, it doesn't have to be extravagant right off the bat, because then the failure rate is so huge.
Absolutely.
They don't come back, or they sit there and say, well, I don't want to do this. If we can just do one day, show them, like Dr. Sundermeyer said, how well they can do and change some of those behaviors, then you know, it obviously works out for them. And so, you know, we come up with some of these theories about why, you know, why are people groomed that way? You know, why do people sit there and feel like they have to go ahead and get up at 6 and don't mm-hmm. eat until 11 and then have to work 8 hours and all that stuff. So some of the things that I think, and I've read a little bit about them, which obviously Dr. Sundermeyer will expound upon as well, is like, you know, we're groomed at an early age. When I say to take orders, it's like, I you know, even myself an example, I remember being young, I had to get up at a certain time, I had to go mm-hmm. to school. If I had to eat fast, because if I did sleep and my school started at 7:50 and I slept into 7:30, I just sucked something down. And those behaviors basically get entrenched into our psyche. And so those things now expound into teenage years and into mm-hmm. our 20s, into the 30s. And then we're like, oh my gosh, it's like now I finally crashed. So.
Well, it also makes you wonder if those really early years of being to school at a specific time, being to school the entire time, and then depending on the parent, although it's fantastic, and how involved were you in school? So how much were you drinking water during the day? And then, of course, depending on where you grew up, right? Mm-hmm. So if you grew up in a hotter place, are you more likely to drink more water versus if it's in a cooler place or even seasonally, right? I always hear people, this is the lovely thing I hear. Well, it's getting harder outside, so I do feel more thirsty, so I drink a little bit more water. So now I'm drinking a liter a day versus maybe, a couple cups. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel thirsty. So if we're grooming ourselves, is it a part of, you know, this just how from early on either parents had to get to school and therefore we're in preschool early, or you know, like where does it lie? But I mean, there's definitely, you know, I never like to eat before 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I get my water in. So there's good things there. But I think everybody's digestive systems and bodies work a little bit differently. So it's not always a 9-to-5 concept with breakfast, lunch, and dinner for every single person. And that's something that we always have to take into consideration as well when we're thinking about how do we make positive changes for you.
So with that being said, before we get to the other things about why maybe at a younger age, what are some of the first three things that you tell your patients? So I'll give an example. So a patient comes on in, let's say their chief complaint is I'm tired all the time. And those types of things. You do a good intake, you find out they might have some exhaustion aspects, maybe some hypocortisolism, those types of things. And then you take their diet diary, they're not eating well. And now what do you go ahead and say to that patient? Like the first things or whatever.
The first thing that I say is what meal can we add some vegetables or greens to? And then during the summer months, I talk about smoothies and making green smoothies. And in the winter months, I talk about crock pot meals, something easy that works around lifestyle. You can turn it on, you go to bed, it's cooking overnight. So I always talk about like, how can we make a simple change at one point of the day? Because I do think that it's defeating when I hear someone that says they work all the time. We have clients that we work with that commute and they maybe are driving 2 hours a day. The question ultimately is how do you work within their schedule without saying you need to stop working altogether, right? So the one thing I'm always like, what meal can you feel confident in adding an additional X number of cups of a vegetable per day? And then obviously give them options. And the other thing I tell them, and it's all, of course, sleep. Sleep is the biggest one with fatigue because you're go, 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 go. So your body never is getting effective rest. My biggest thing is if I can't get you to sleep, I'm not going to get you to be able to accomplish anything else. And I think we take sleep for granted so much in today's world. I mean, myself included, I get my second wind at 10 o'clock. So I'm like, oh, I can finish my charts and I can do this one last thing I've been meaning to do. And oh, the book I want to read. And really it's no, that's the where I should be asleep already, because that's when I also need to be aware of taking care of myself, just like anybody else. So if I can have people be more consistent with 6 hours of sleep versus five, you know, making small little changes versus going, you have to have 8 hours of sleep, and them going, that's impossible, I'm not going to be able to do that. And then come back and tell me, well, I didn't do that. Right.
I agree.
So little changes like that, I think, are the biggest things that I try and set realistic goals. Now, of course, then as you people start going, oh, I got more vegetables in and my bowel movements are working better, or I've started sleeping longer and I feel like I don't get so energy, my energy isn't as low here as we're doing other things. Then we go, great, now we're going to add another 30 minutes to that bedtime goal, or now we're going to add it here and there. So how can we start piecemealing this all together?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things that we actually do hand out as a sleep hygiene. So those things can be posted upon on our site. Those things can help. Hopefully there's some of the population. Obviously, sleep issues for me are one of the harder things to accomplish, just because there can be so many things that leads to them being, like I said, sleepless.
Right.
In that regard. But when I say the basics, like you said, it's like, well, I come home, I finally can just do my things, those types of things, or those types where it feels like, well, there's not like a hormonal issue. It's just because I've always had 5 hours of sleep and it feels like I feel fantastically fine. Well, again, when does a body finally tell you no? And it starts to break itself down. You know, obviously hormones come out when we sleep, growth hormone comes out to heal the body. We're obviously not digesting food, you know, obviously when we sleep. So you know, we'll talk about that in regards to digestion and some of the intermittent fasting, you know, those types of things, because now the body doesn't have to digest food. And so a lot of times when people eat a big meal or they do something at night, they can't go to sleep. So those are the types of things that we sit there and try to work on. The basics, and then obviously if there's something more extravagant, then it's like, all right, adding something in, working backwards from sleep in that regards. So the one of the things that I think we talked about a lot is the people that are constantly in the morning and the first thing they do is actually drink coffee.
Yeah.
So I'm not against coffee. It's just now, you know, the concept of sleep. So now let's say we stop drinking water at 7 p.m., and we went to bed at 10 and we woke up at 7 a.m. And the first thing we do is we reach for coffee because it needs to wake us on up. And obviously it's a dehydrator and diuretic. Well, we spent 12 hours or whatever away from water. And now maybe the first glass of water is around 10 a.m. And then we kind of constantly put ourselves into a deficit in regards to water, which obviously we think is huge. Right. Because a lot of biochemistry runs in a water medium. We need water to go ahead and hydrate the cells, right. Those types of things. So when we talk about the one day, one of the first things we do is like, well, have your 12 to 14 ounces of water right by your bed. As soon as you get up in the morning, before you do anything else, you drink the water.
Yep.
Okay. And then just with that one simple habit, people usually notice that everything starts to go ahead and improve.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we try to do when we talk about the one day. And then, you know, we expound on it from there in regards to making sure that we go ahead and have movement or bright light. And so here, when daylight saving times is a little bit less, it starts to get dark around 5 p.m. and then it doesn't get light until 6 a.m. And so if I tell people they have to get up in the morning, they have to get bright light. So whether it means a light they purchase, they go to the kitchen, their vision starts to see it. I think that's perfectly fine. And then obviously movement. And so you can expand a little bit on that.
No, I think that that's exactly it. So, I mean, talking about the beginning of what does this perfect one day consist of, it really is, okay, am I waking up consistently ready to go? Am I drinking water the first time that I'm waking up? Am I getting a little bit of salt intake within that water to help support my adrenal glands, better absorbability? So we talk about this. And then a lot of the times, depending on the time of the year, I'll say, hey, while you're drinking that water, why don't you get outside and get some direct sunlight, get some earthing going on, and kind of just get a good 5 minutes of time for yourself, where this is maybe where you breathe, you do some mindful meditation, and you prep yourself for the day. And all of while this is happening, maybe your cup of coffee is brewing, mm-hmm. right? And really just trying to encourage the avoidance of that coffee the first thing in the morning. And we're all a little bit of the culprit of that, but I've started keeping my water glass right by the bed, just being able to say, hey, I need to wake up and drink this as I'm walking into the kitchen, because by the time I get there, I've already had a good 10 ounces and I feel more awake when I do that. And I feel like I'm more fluid. My body moves better. My brain's waking up with it as well. And so there's a lot going on there that can be assisting with that. And then of course that sunlight, I mean, we talked about sunlight and direct sunlight, but we didn't talk about the way it naturally balances your circadian rhythm to support your adrenal gland. I mean, our circadian rhythm, it always helps us wake up in the morning ready to start our day, but also ready for bed in the evening time. Correct. And the reason we don't have good circadian rhythms recently is because most professionals work in the morning to the evening time. So as the sun is rising and as the sun is setting, those are the times of day we see sunlight. And so how is that impacting even overall health? Right. And so, then, yeah.
So yeah. So the cortisol, obviously, you know, it goes to the vision, I think, through the circadian, and then it goes to the pineal gland, mm-hmm. those types of things to increase it. Because I get a lot of stories that I wake up, I'm still in my robe.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. I get my cup of coffee. I'll sit and I'll just try to wake on up that way. And so just that change in behavior of doing the other things, I think in the majority of my patients within a couple of weeks, they're like, wow, I never knew that this had such a drastic effect upon my body.
Right.
How well I actually feel. And a lot of times the people are actually switching away from coffee and just drinking water. Obviously, we try to switch on out certain things from the caffeine.
Right.
Just changing that simple behavior. And then it's like we also talk about doing movement.
Right.
It doesn't have to be I'm going to calisthenics class, but as soon as you do those three things, after you get the sunlight, marching in place, arm circles, light jumping jacks, because now basically it's getting the body primed. So, oh, okay, I need to be up. So let's get our body processes going. And so just that one day of changing behavior of 20 minutes can actually improve the person's whole day. And so that's the concept of one day, okay, and that we talk about.
Well, and I think this is a perfect time where I say, well, do you have a dog?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is the perfect time to take your dog on a walk, mm-hmm. right? This is the perfect time to create a little reliance on the fact that you have that animal that might need to go around the block. I mean, however long your blocks might be, but I mean, that could be 10 minutes of your day. and being able to get that sunlight, drink that water, get that circulation going. And you're kind of getting also a little bit of cardiovascular work as well, mm-hmm. which is good to act as a natural stimulator, right?
Well, and most people, it's like, obviously we have a lot of people that are active, but a lot of our majority of our patients are sedentary more. And so the concept of even movement and sleep and expending mm-hmm. energy, if we're sitting down at a computer all day, mm-hmm. we're actually not moving around and our body is not getting primed actually to sit there and be sleepy.
Right.
And so we have to do some things with movement to get the body to understand that it's okay. I worked out really hard. You know, it's like Saturday and Sunday, like people might do the yard work all day. And all of a sudden they're like, man, I crashed out Saturday night and I slept great.
Right.
You know, it's because, well, your body was actually expending
energy. Now, when you're talking with your clients, Dr. Wallace, how do you start them out with exercise if they have a desk job, they work the 9-to-5 job, and maybe they have an hour commute? You know, they're basically 100% sedentary in their life, minus maybe small little things here or there, grocery stores, things like that. Like, where is your starting place when it comes to beginning movement? Because I feel like there's a lot of places that'll, like, they'll go from zero to CrossFit, or they'll go from zero to,
zero to injury.
Zero to injury is what I talk to people about. Cause there's also, is it like Bar A or Pilates with the machine? I don't know what it's called, right. But like they go from doing nothing to this very intense exercise. And I find that one, they're less likely to be compliant, but two, I hear the ankle, the shoulder, the wrist, the elbow, the knee, all of those little things start to now get aggravated. So curious with your history, what do you think is a good starting place?
Well, with most people that I do, in regards to sedentary at work, mm-hmm. obviously I like to go ahead and tell them to get a timer and set up about every 30 minutes. And there's a lovely thing called a Bruegger relief position. So mm-hmm. our posture has gotten severely bad. In regards to our slouch, our computer,
I know exactly. Sit up straight.
So, you know, we talk about physical laws and, you know, all these things governing Hilton's law and mm-hmm. all these other things in regards to our poor posture. And now we have back pain. So Bruegger relief position is good at your desk. It actually, it forces us to put all of our load bearing joints into a nice sequence. But when people come in and they haven't really done anything in regards to walking, and we just learned, which you'll be seeing or hearing Dr. Anderson, I think, after us. We just came back from a conference, and I liked what he was saying. It's like, we'll call it movement. So if they've been sedentary, just simple movement. I want you to walk, and I want you to do some old school calisthenics, some arm circles. Mm-hmm. Okay? I want you to do marching in place. I want mm-hmm. you to keep your leg out to the side. I want you to go ahead and do some movement with your ankles so your body, the proprioceptors, actually start to know what you're starting to do. As a person progresses through that, I only do body weight exercises, modified push-ups. We can modify pull-ups. We can mm-hmm. modify planks. We can go ahead and modify sit-ups, right. modify lunges. It's like, we don't need expensive machines in regards right. to being healthy. So we try to start with some old school calisthenics. And then if people start getting better and they go, well, now I want to go ahead and really be a beast, that's more up my alley. Then we right. can start training them or send them to trainers that we've kind of vetted in mm-hmm. that regards, just so they're not being injured. They know how to do things posturally correct, so they're not right. getting damage into the system. But you are correct. We will have a lot of injuries, or we have a lot of injuries from people coming in from 0 to 60 mm-hmm. In that regards. So typical walking, and usually when people walk, it's like we start them slow. But after a while, then, we do want to do things physiologically, and we want to try to increase the system. So mm-hmm. I say, well, if you're going to walk for 20 minutes, I want you to walk 2 minutes at a normal pace, then 8 seconds as fast as you can, and then 2 minutes, back to two mm-hmm. minutes, 8 seconds as fast as you can, just to try to go ahead and change the physiology a little bit for your body to actually make a response.
Right.
Because we'll have a lot of patients that can't lose weight because they've gotten so efficient on the elliptical machine or on the treadmill.
That's perfect. Yeah.
And they're not doing load bearing exercises, and they're not stressing the system on out, because our body is all about efficiency. If it's right. you always run me at 6 miles an hour for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know how I know this is coming, so I'm just going to conserve. But now if we go ahead and go, well, I'm going to increase the incline, or I'm going to sprint for 8 seconds.
Right.
The body has to make a response to that, and you actually will start to actually get a little bit of improvement.
Well, and that's one thing that I feel like I see a lot of patients do. Oh, I run, or I jog, or I walk, but there's never the contraction. There's never muscle work going on except for what's being done during that single movement, because it's the same repetitive movement. And
right.
So adding in that load bearing exercise, those neck, even your own, like you said, your own body weight. I mean,
right.
We all are averaging about 140 to 150 pounds, depending on the sex of the individual. So, you know, we have mass behind us that we're easily able to attempt to pull up, push up, or hold in place with the plank, which are always fun. But none of us are really pushing that. I think what I see is we'll do some walking, we'll do some running, and then we'll do a ton of weightlifting. And, correct. You know, so they think that gym membership is needed. And sometimes it's really nice to hear, you know, you say the gym membership is not always needed.
No, it's just the whole commitment. And so that's the thing, like I said, one day, just think of one day being simple.
Right.
I never really walk, and I'm going to walk. And then right. I never really worked out, so now I'm going to do some simple workout. Or now perfect. I've walked and worked out, now I like to play sports. And so you're right. Building yourself on up. You're not immediately going from sedentary, and I play
right.
on this team in college, and I'm going to go back to tennis, and I totally trash myself. And
absolutely.
So the one thing, too, you know, we mentioned earlier about why sometimes we're like this. And, you know, a thought came to my mind again. So we talk about modeling. It's like I remember, you know, my father – up at 4, work until 7, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So when you're a kid, you know, I thought that was normal. I thought it was, you know, you're supposed to get up early and go work and then come home and just sleep. And on the weekends, you know, mow the yard and then uh-huh. wake up at Monday and do the same thing. So
do it all over again.
I was guilty of that until I met Dr. Sundermeyer.
Thanks.
No, it's good and bad. So, you know, I did that my whole life in regards to just being a PT professional and uh-huh. stuff like that. And so, you know, the whole concept of the one day is changing some of our belief systems in regards to, you know, we modeled other people, we modeled our parents, we modeled right. successful people, and they're successful, yes, for a reason. But usually when people achieve their success, it's mm-hmm. because of a detriment now into their health, and then they have to really kind of redo things, and now they can actually enjoy the riches that they just spent 20 years building on up, which is right. good and bad. You know, we want to have entrepreneurs and drive, but we also want to now at a younger age find that balance to where we're not having to be totally disabled at 20 years because we've lived a certain lifestyle, but yet now we're rich. And
right.
now we're going to spend all those riches on helping our health.
Right. There was a really good quote on Facebook about, you know, you can't buy health, right? That's your, mm-hmm. that's really what you have to make your investment in, because you can spend all the money on the supplements, you can spend all the money on this, but if you are not taking care of those day-to-day activities, how run down are you going to become?
Correct.
And so, like, I think we have this little outline where we like to follow for our talks, and Dr. Wallace put a really cool quote on it and says, falling in love with taking care of yourself, mind, body, spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if that implementation could be started from an early age, as opposed to now we're in our 30s and 40s and fatigued, and, you know, we're have more weight on our body than we'd like, and we can't mm-hmm. figure out why, but we don't exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big take home
well,
there.
Well, and we have a lot of clients for weight loss, and that's that same concept. Mm-hmm. It's like they are so busy.
Yep.
They work out 6 days a week, which is destroying their cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing of it is, I think what they also have is like, if I'm not busy, I'm not being productive.
Right.
And that's another thing we know we put down on our thing here. It's like, for some reason, we think being busy means productive. And so
right.
that's due to a point. But we also have to learn how to be quiet, and we have to learn how to listen to ourselves or listen to our body before it's mm-hmm. too late. You know, obviously one of the specialties we have is pain, and, you know, we deal with pain all the time, but
right.
pain is just something that the body's telling you something's wrong. It could
right.
be musculoskeletal, it could mm-hmm. be emotional, it could be all the, you know, the supplement wise, it's being sedentary, but
right.
we actually have to be quiet. and actually understand what our body's telling us. If we're not losing weight, even though we're still taking 1200 calories and we're working out like a beast, well, right. Are you in stage 3 adrenal exhaustion, where it doesn't matter what you do, you switch over to a hypoanabolic state, your labs can be off, it's destroying your muscle tissue.
Right.
And sometimes when people hear us sit there and say about the one day, we go, I don't want you to work out. I want you to go do restorative yoga, or I just want you to go ahead and walk in the park and breathe. And they're like they sometimes look at you puzzled.
Like I've had a couple of people tell me, if you tell me not to work out, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And I'm like, but your body might be screaming, it's time to not work out as much.
And that's one day.
That's just one day. In talking about the rest and rest being willing to be in rest, I mean, I think that kind of is a good conversation too when it comes to eating. So, you know, depending on where you are as far as dietary recommendations, food allergies, food sensitivities, and how often you're eating, are you a grazer, a snacker, a 6-meal-a-day person? Are you an intermittent faster? Like, what are you doing as far as the way you're moving energy into your system, the way you're moving fuel into your system? Because that's the one thing I think a lot of people don't remember with food is this is our fuel, right? This is will right. convert into energy and be able to allow our brain to function, our heart to beat, our muscles to move, all of the processes to occur. But I think the one thing that we don't remember is that we're supposed to eat sitting down away from electronics and any major stimulus and maybe having a calm conversation with your significant other or friends. And how often would you say your patients are driving or working while they're eating or eating standing up? In this approach to this conversation, I think the diet was the biggest thing that I was seeing was our biggest issue with our patients. Mm-hmm. Or with mine is they don't eat in a calm, what we call parasympathetic, the rest and digest state.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so go ahead.
So parasympathetic as compared to sympathetic. So, you know, the two differences is like if you're always trying to run away from the bear, it's like how is blood going to get to your stomach? You know, we just don't make hydrochloric acid. We actually have to take a hydrogen. We have to take a chloride. It has to go into the stomach, to the parietal cell, all these other things, and make that to digest your food.
Right.
So if we're always in sympathetic tone, the body's ready to run all the time. And so Dr. Sundermeyer said, if we can't sit down, eat our food, enjoy it, digest it, assimilate it, get rid of the waste, well, it can just basically go to, I think, the alimentary canal, putrefy. Mm-hmm. Rot, and now you have bad bacteria growing on it, creating, like I said, different types of chemicals that are actually bad for the system.
Right.
Because it's like we had to eat fast and go to our next appointment or to our next, unfortunately, function with our children in that regards because we're so busy.
Right.
That one day concept that we tell people is like, well, then if that's the case, then we have to cook maybe a little bit earlier. We have to prep. So then you can come home. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people to put on binaural beats through YouTube. Binaural beats just helps, like I said, come home. You put that on, sends nice wavelengths as you cook. So you can just calm down, take off Fox News and CNN and political shows.
Oh yeah. Talk about the stress about that, the political climate and stress, right?
It's like we get that all the time. It's like, just turn everything off, cook your meal, enjoy family time, talk at the dinner table with your kids.
Right.
And so just that concept again, it's like water in the morning time, proper eating at dinner time, setting those habits. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden people do that and they go, yeah, it actually made me feel good because I remember how I used to maybe be 10. And we would always have the family around the dinner table telling jokes, the horsing around, like those types of things. So, you know, that's where we're supposed to communicate and actually fulfill that part of our life.
Well, and I think the thing about today's, if we want to talk about it in a weight loss standpoint or in a what is considered correct as far as how to eat food today, there's so many new concepts with food intake when it comes to what is considered healthy. And of course, I think what we have to remind people is every person's different and not everyone does great with keto or paleo or intermittent fasting or, you know, grazing throughout the entire day or just being a snacker, however you want to look at it.
Correct.
But just being cognizant of that, the food choices that you're making on this day mm-hmm. are not the fast food line, but it's maybe, you know, a salad bar with protein or, you know, a good something with better green conversation with protein and good healthy fats, you know, having a good idea in mind of what percentage should your plate look like of what food category, right? Well,
too, the executive that goes out on the lunch has lunch with his clientele, uh-huh. the whole clientele is getting fish and chips, and it's okay to actually get a salad with the dressing on the side, not into the salad, and some chicken or whatever on the salad. You know, those types mm-hmm. of things where, you know, let them go ahead and deal with all the saturated or the, you know, unsaturated, the harmful fats, the high carb, and mm-hmm. you can go ahead and make those changes in regards to a little bit healthier.
Right.
Regards. So, you know, In-N-Out Burger has the protein burger minus the bun, you know, those types of things. So it's just making those little tiny changes that overall will go ahead and help you in the big picture. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to expound upon those things and hopefully one day turns into two, turns into a week. Mm-hmm. By all means, I have a cheat day, you know, like those types of things, because I tell people you have to earn it though. It's like, mm-hmm. it can't be a cheat day every day. It's like, if you do well and a Sunday comes along, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you know, go ahead and get what you want. You know, as long as it's not for breakfast, lunch and dinner and snacks.
Right. Right. Well, and I think that that's the thing that we've also become very accustomed to is snacking. Mm-hmm. We've come to a place where I'll snack on this, I'll snack on that, and then I'll have a meal, and then I'll snack on this, and then I'll snack on that. And at that point, we are probably overtaxing our pancreas, which is responsible for our blood sugar control with insulin. It, you know, makes the hormone insulin, and insulin over time can be a big culprit when it comes to weight gain and inability to lose weight because it's not working efficiently. So all of these excessive meals and of course proper portion size and good quality meals are key, but if we're eating at 8 a.m. and then we're eating at 10 and then we're eating at noon and it's an every 2 hour thing, whether we have a small snack or a full meal, we're also getting to this place, I think, where we're doing other harm to our body. And of course I always say every case is different. I try and base the way I talk about food with one, you know, with each individual person. But in a general statement, I think we've learned to eat a lot. And I think we've learned Correct. To eat a lot of bigger portions as well. I mean,
Correct.
And so, you know, just being aware of the food that we're eating on top of the state that we're eating it in. Again, are we on the run or are we actually sitting having a calm meal? Mm-hmm. Make a huge difference with how well we're digesting our food.
Right.
But then obviously the negative effects that can occur later down the road due to that food, right?
Right, yeah. Well, it's like we also have patients too that will come in. Like Dr. Sundermeyer said, you know, there are fads and then there's things that help. And so that's why seeing a practitioner and looking at the overall picture, you know, intermittent mm-hmm. fasting, and then I only eat for 5 hours, or, but I only have one huge meal that's 4,000 calories.
Right.
I actually had that stated. In my head, I'm going, well, can your pancreas make enough protease, lipase, and amylase, and all that stuff to actually digest that one meal?
Right.
So the concept of like, all right, intermittent fast, but I have a 5 hour period that I actually plan my meals at appropriate mm-hmm. times to allow my body to have a little bit less.
Right.
Actually absorb and digest, then I go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But I also find out that when people come to us extremely tired and they're intermittent fasting, you know, or they're fasting, it's actually a detriment because mm-hmm. we're not maybe keeping better cortisol control. Because if we fast for a period of time, we have to maintain blood sugar.
Right.
So sometimes cortisol will increase. Mm-hmm. If we have these people in stage three, you know, they go, well, I want to fast. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. We're actually going to set you on up for improving by having maybe more protein.
Right.
In the morning and at lunchtime, and then maybe a little more carbohydrates at night, those types of things. Get you built back on up, and then as your health starts to improve, then if you want to try intermittent fasting, those types of things, then fantastic. But it doesn't have to be complicated as well, which on our foundation handout, it's like if you just stop eating at 7 p.m. and don't pick it on up until 7 a.m., you allowed your body not to digest food. And when our body doesn't have to make all the enzymes to digest food,
right.
it can take those resources and actually now go help repair the body You know, we need enzymes and we need cofactors to go and repair. I learned from a lovely doctor in the past, Dr. Loomis, and I think Howard, for the enzyme nutrition book. And that's what they talk about. It says that if we're always constantly trying to digest food, having food that's very enzyme deficient, all the processed food, you know, that's why it has to stay on the shelf, or that's why it can stay on the shelf, because I've taken all the enzymes out of it.
Right.
And so if we put those things back into our system, people start to improve because they're actually now starting to repair the body. And we talked about sleep earlier. If we can now repair the body, sleep better, water in the morning, now we can go ahead and have dinner with the family. And we meditate for even 5 minutes. That one day concept just turned into like, holy cow, I took control of my one day and I wasn't already put in a deficit when I first started in the morning and I had 2 cups of coffee. As soon as you do that, you're in deficit. You're done. You can't come back from that.
Right.
So,
you know, I think back to the big intermittent fasting concept, I do really like that statement where if you your last meal is before, right at 7 p.m. or finishing at 7 p.m., you know, 6:50, however you want to look at it, and your next meal isn't until 7 a.m., you've now done a 12-hour fast, right? But I think that that's actually a really uncommon thing. I think more and more people eat at 8 or eat at 9 or get a small snack before bed or however. And then, of course, the one thing I do see is that say someone is eating so close to bedtime, they actually do tend to have more sleep disturbance. So they're waking up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. regularly, or even drinking wine before bed can cause them to wake up at those times because they're eating so close to when you're laying flat and your body is supposed to not be digesting at that point in time, right? So I always talk to people about intermittent fasting. I'm like, you can turn the dial however you want it as you get closer to the time frame in which you would like. You don't always start at 18 hours of fasting and 6 hours of eating. I think that that's just, I think people backtrack more and more, or when they go to eat food, they're eating chips, right? Because they're so hungry, they're trying to find that quick meal. And they're wanting salt and they're wanting things to help support their adrenal glands. So if you start with just a basic 12 hours and you don't eat 2 hours before bedtime, as a general statement for most, for, you know, for a healthy individual that's working on cleaning up their system, they'll have better sleep and they'll have better, you know, balance of all the hormones that need to be worked with, healing and repair, the growth hormone that increases in the middle of the night, that'll actually start happening. Correct. And then their sleep slowly will become better just with those few little shifts. And then as you feel like you can start intermittent fasting a little longer, if that's something that you're going to do, then move into 8 hours, then move into 9 hours of 13 hours, 14 hours of that fast. And so slowly you're doing more fasting, but then also the meals that you're eating during that time frame have to be proper meals. You're still supposed to eat, right? Yeah.
They're healthy. They're healthy meals. It's like you can't intermittent fast at, you know, Dairy Queen and stuff like that. So
that's your cheat day.
That's my cheat day, and I do not intermittent fast.
But there's also some people that shouldn't intermittent fast because they tend to there tend to be people that get hungry quickly. They get anger, right? They get hangry, and they also burn sugar too much. They're just always hungry. So you have to work there on better portion control and balance of foods, and obviously work on hormone balancing as well, because those people don't do well with intermittent fasting. So, and, you know, being aware.
Correct. And I'm one of those. It's like I cannot go long without having some type of food in that regards, because it makes me feel better. And I've tried everything. When I was going through naturopathic school, I went vegan for a little bit, you know, seeing how that would work. I ate way more vegetables, which is good in that regards, but it didn't make me feel as good as if I had vegetables with a protein, animal protein, those types of things. I feel much, much better. And so my body runs better on a little bit more protein compared to other people. And that's where, when you see someone like myself or Dr. Sundermeyer, you know, those are the things that we talk about. What are your goals? What are your goals on that one day? You know, what do you want to change, or how can we assist you on that one day? Well, now it's like you're creating the perfect day for you, and that perfect day changes, and it's not for every patient. And that's why you have to be moldable in your thinking as a practitioner. and don't go directly to keto or paleo, those types of things, which, like I said, they're very fancy for me. Just don't eat garbage. And so food diet, and then we can manipulate what we need to manipulate in order what your goals are, that you want to go ahead and accomplish.
Absolutely. I think that was good statements right there.
So as we transfer and we go into a thing in healing, and so, you know, so this one day concept is just changing the mindset of the patient. And so, you know, we have to work on the psychology of the patient as well. And so a lot of times it's like I pose to the patient, it's like, how committed are you into your treatment? And it's like, if they go by percentage wise, if they're not committed at least, you know, 90% or something like that, then, you know, it's like, you're really either probably going to have a failure rate, or they're going to do well and then they're going to fall off the wagon, those types of things. And so, you know, the challenge to make a decision has to go ahead and be at the forefront of most people that come into our office. It's like, what things are you willing to change because you're paying money now to see me, that I can help you with? Cause I don't want you to fail.
I
want you to succeed, but Dr. Sundermeyer and I can only row the boat a little bit. Like, we're the people in the back of the boat going stroke, stroke. And then it's like our patients are the one, you know, doing this because
I thought it was row. I think they're saying row. Okay. Something. One of those two. So
that was like
saying
an old
something.
Choir song. Stroke. So that's fun. And so that's where we have to go ahead and we talk to our patients. And that's part of obviously the evaluation process when they come in and ask us and they tell us their story and then we run labs. A lot of times it's convincing them through motivational interviewing.
Right.
So how are you willing to go ahead and participate into your health?
Because
I can guide you and I can give you resources, but I need to know that you have the commitment and the decision-making skills that you want to go ahead and do this. Because I want success rates. You know, we all have failures in regards to the people we see, and I feel bad because it's like, what did I do wrong, or those types of things. And that's what makes us good, I think, physicians, because we actually have, you know, a little bit of empathy and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm focusing more and more as I become an older doctor. It's like, all right, what are you doing? You know, what are you willing to commit to? What decisions do you have to make right now in order for you to go ahead and be healthy? And that's not only when they're disease, but prevention.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing with prevention is, oh, I'm healthy, so I can eat these bad foods more consistently, or I'm healthy, so I can have all these sweets more consistently. But what are you setting yourself up with in the long run as well? And I do think learning to meet the patient where they are, the individual, and I think, you know, you get the concept of multiple different people when we're working in a naturopathic world and with a naturopathic physician, and you're going, okay, you're a mom of three, they're all under 10, and they're all involved in something, right? We have to be considerate of that. So I'm like, well, whichever kid is at sports, you're now going to walk around the track. You know, like, what kid is doing what, and how can we encourage you to be more active during that time frame as opposed to stuck in a car or eating in the car? You know, what can we do there? So trying to even start with, I'm committed, there's that commitment, but, like, how can I make this make sense for my life? And that's where I think kind of starting back at the beginning is meeting the person where they are and trying to create small changes in the environment, like wake up and drink water. That's an easy thing to start doing. Have the water by your bed. It's ready to go. All you have to do is get out of bed and it's right there. Pick it up and you're on already a better start of the day. And then of course that meal, what meal can you add more veg to? What meal can you sit down with and not eat standing up or in the car? I used to have a patient. She's lovely. She works in the housing market, we'll say, and she has to drive from house to house to house. So she used to tell me she used to eat driving. And she's like, you know, Dr. Sundermeyer, I've been doing so much better. I now pull over. She's like, and I listen to a little bit of music and I eat at least sitting without driving, trying to do all these things so that I'm noticing I just feel better just by making that little simple shift. So 15 minutes, 20 minutes, she pulled over, she eats her lunch in her car. And she's still getting everything she needs to be done, but she actually started to just prioritize her health a little bit more than trying to get from point A to point B and not eating appropriately.
Well, that was one of the things, prioritizing. Mm-hmm. So we have to also prioritize our view of success, mm-hmm. those types of things. You know, we have to spend money on our health now. Obviously, be frugal and understanding the better ways to spend your money in regards mm-hmm. to your health. Just so you can be 48 like I am today and still be able to climb and jump and have a good time and those types of things, because that's what it's all about. It's all about laying the foundation like we did with the foundation handout. Mm-hmm. Expand on that to one day for all of our busy people. Mm-hmm. The people that are have already been through that and they just come and see us, they've already have one day down, and then we can basically now take that and perfect it even more.
Right.
But this is where you should actually take your antioxidants for guys. And this is right. where you can take this. And this is the better form of fish oil, or this is a better form of meditation, or this is what you can do in a yoga wise, or like we talk about exercise wise, if you really want to go ahead and get, you know, flat abs or whatever like that, then it allows us to go ahead and do those things as well, because it forces us to think. And now we can sit there and have patients that now go above and they keep going up the ladder right. and actually feeling better and better. In that regards, rather than always being on the ground floor and they're not actually increasing on up. And usually, like I said, the first things that I ask them, it's like, okay, are you following some of the foundational handout, the suggestions right. that we gave to you, and have you perfected your day yet?
Right.
And if they say no to those things, then again, we talk about all the other extravagant therapies that we might want to do, but it's just not going to do well. Okay. Right. Or they're going to have to spend more money, you know, those types of things. You know, which help pay the lights, but it doesn't help, you know, my feeling of like, yeah, man, you're doing it. I want to sit and say, hoorah.
Right. Well, it's also, like you said, about success. It's how where is your priority with your health? And I think anyone that's listening to this currently, or whenever you're listening to it, might not be today, but it could be tomorrow or in a couple days. Mm-hmm. Where do you prioritize your health? And do you think that you could do all the things that you're doing now if you were feeling more tired? Mm-hmm. Or say, for instance, now you have a family member that's ill. I have a lot of patients that have to also help care for their parents, right? Yep. So we're now running around caring for kids and parents. What happens if you now become sick because you've forgotten about you, even mm-hmm. if it's just a little bit every day? Even it's like, let's focus on sleep. So yep. I think that's what everyone today from this conversation is what are you a priority, right?
Exactly. So, you know, both Dr. Sundermeyer and I, it's like, obviously we do telemedicine with a lot of our patients. So please check us on out, infusionhealth.org. If you'd like us to go ahead and follow some of your care. And that's exactly it. It's like, so how do you prioritize yourself?
Yeah.
Again, it's like as mothers, we prioritize ourselves because we have a little one. You know, we got to be a good mom, and then that, you know, mother work. So those are always good questions to ask in that regards. And then, like I said, trying to change a little bit of our mindset and just helping our patients out, or our clients out, finding the best part of them, whether now they can feel comfortable and they've made the decision. And that's where great things start to happen. And that's why motivational interviewing, and that's what I think sets us a good practitioner apart from some of the other practitioners, maybe in the allopathic world. It's like, you got to do this and you got to take this. And if you don't do this, you're bad or whatever. And it's like, oh, heck no. No, that's not how things go. It's like, let's work together so we can create an environment for you to go ahead and heal, feel your best in that regard. So,
well, and I think, would you say today, the biggest thing about that day is you wake up, right? Mm-hmm. You get your sunlight and drink your water, right?
It's like that. That's for everybody.
You've had good sleep because you're working on making sure that at bedtime, you're not eating right at bedtime. Correct. But you're also being aware of sleep hygiene. An hour before you're going to bed, right? You're avoiding bright lights. You're trying your best to get away from social media. We are all mildly addicted to it these days. Yes. But being aware. Yeah. And so turning those things off. Actually read a book. When was the last time you read a book versus scrolling through?
Jack Reacher novels.
Versus scrolling through, you know, trying to find out what's going on in the world. And, you know, giving yourself that countdown to this is lights out. This is my time. This is when I take my bath. I meditate. I listen to great music. you know, those little things to get better sleep at night. And then of course, food during the day is the key, right? Regardless of whether you fast or you're following a specific dietary regimen, it's all about the makeup of that food on a day. And obviously Dr. Wallace and I will have our foundation handout available if, you know, we always say it's general, but there are some people that really have to start shifting the focus to what goals do they have. And so good dietary intake, good sleep, good movement or exercise, and don't go 0 to 60 with CrossFit and or barre, Pilates, or, you know, start with some good general things. General guidelines make the world go round.
And then like do books that empower. It's like we're always watching stuff that's news, that's negative and negative and negative. We don't do a whole lot of stuff that's positive. So what that means, daily affirmations, whether that reading certain books that are uplifting. I'm seeing a story of heroics, something that we know that human nature is actually inherently good.
Right.
In that regards. It's like, we do like to go ahead and praise people that do well. And so again, the biggest thing is changing that mindset of people that have goals and they have to feel like they may have to work, you know, 19 hours out of the day to try to achieve them. And so our goal is to making sure that they can achieve them, but not go ahead and destroy their system to where they can't enjoy all the work that they did. And I can't tell you how many people that we have that are in their 60s that worked their butt off. And now, unfortunately, they have dire circumstances. And one of the things that they always tell us is like, you know, I wish I would have done this when I was younger. And I don't want to be that person. I don't want my clients that are 20s, their 30s, their teenage years to be that person. So it's all starting those habits really young, early in life, or even later on in life, but really adhering to them, to that one day concept, and then expounding that like we do ourselves, so we can go ahead and be healthy and not have to be in the sick care system, those types of things that unfortunately just makes us and keeps us sick.
Yeah. Well, I think that has been fantastically said. So one day for you, one day for me, one day for all you listeners out there, find a day that you think that you can actually create an optimal day for yourself. And remember that exercise wasn't a huge fad until like the 70s or 80s.
So if, like I said, if you need some assistance with some of these things, you can always reach us online, infusionhealth.org. We obviously have our numbers there. We do telemedicine all the time. So we can actually be a health coach for you, naturopathic doctors for you, because we can run labs and interpret labs and all those other things. Especially
fully able.
Yeah, in Arizona. So we have a lot of clients that we go ahead and talk to that want to go ahead and improve their health and optimize their health. So we're actually allowed to do that. So today is my birthday. So I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody that got me a birthday present and said, happy birthday. Except for one, which I never had. Dr. Fernemeyer gave me some really cool shirts. She gave me this one.
What were we? May 23rd in one day, and Dr. Wallace's birthday. That's the goal of the day, isn't it?
And I'm going to go see John Wick. So I think after we're done here, it's like finish up, tidy up the office, and go see John Wick.
I think that sounds like an amazing plan on this day. I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And I'm Dr. Wallace. I think our next talk, I think, is on thyroid, I do believe.
Yep. So we're going to start delving into thyroid care, what the thyroid does. And we're going to talk a little bit about labs. We'll see how far we get into that as we talk a little bit about the thyroid. Yep. And we're going to start shifting gears into different organs and what they do and how they can actually start being better treated. So we're not sure if thyroid will be one or two parts, but we're going to definitely try and delve into what it is, what it does, and of course labs and what they mean.
Yep.
We hope you guys, how to take care of it.
No.
We hope you guys have an amazing rest of your Thursday, and we will see you soon.
Yep. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. You've been listening to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour with Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, bringing the power of health to your listening ears. You can learn more by visiting infusionhealth.org. That's infusionhealth.org. BetterHealth.org. Follow them on social media and join the movement to better health.
At Circle K, we want to make things a little easier every day. These are uncertain times, and we know you're relying on us. Don't take unnecessary journeys, but if you need us, we're open, and we're going that extra mile to ensure we're clean and we're fully stocked. Take care from Circle K.
Mommy, look at my boat. It's sailing.
Introducing the Her Journey Around the World Started in Our Overflowing Bathroom Sink policy from American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote. Find an agent. Visit amfam.com for homeowners policy information.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.